This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. Rabbi la tadharni fardan wa anta khayrul warithin. وقال تعالى رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا. After marriage, it's quite a natural desire to have children. In fact, this is one of the primary reasons that people get married. To one is to have a partner to share their emotions with. It's a very kind of natural relationship. And number two, it's to procreate, have children, leave somebody behind, have additions to the family, and have people that can hopefully look after them, have children that can hopefully look after them when they grow old and when they are in need. So the whole idea of this parent-children relationship, if you look at it from afar, without being necessarily an interested party, if you look at it neutrally from the side, from why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have created such a situation, such a biological reaction, and these emotional associations that he creates in this, how parents feel so much for their children, and children should feel for their parents. So now, when you look at it, you understand that there's a specific system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this world. And this specific system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this world is to actually leave some stability, is to create some stability, it's to make some stability. And that is that people are looked after, people are taken care of, and they take care of others, and then when they grow up and they're in need, then people take care of them. And that's, and if that works very well, and if everybody plays right in that system, then the system works very well. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an, He mentions the quotes from different prophets. One of them is, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh my Lord, do not keep me alone. Do not keep me alone without somebody. But because you are the best of those who make people inherit. You're the best of inheritors, you're the best of people who give people inheritance. أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. So essentially saying that leave some mention of me behind. Give me children, give me a good memory after I die. Another one is, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh my Lord, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا, give me. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا, our Lord, give us from our spouses and our progeny, which means until the day of judgment, those that will be a source of gladness for our eyes. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us imams of those people who have taqwa and God-fearingness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again quotes Zakariya alayhi salam in old age, رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. Oh my Lord, my bones, they've become frail. My head, my hair, it's all greyed. It's all become white. It's all greyed. And وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. And I am not to be, he's essentially praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that don't make me an unfortunate one with regards to praying to you. So if I make a dua to you, accept that dua and don't make me of the deprived ones. These are the du'as of the Prophet, so you can understand that this is something that even those places, people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still they wanted children, and this was a very natural kind of thing and a praiseworthy thing to want and to desire children. Now within children, when we do have children, then of course their tarbiyah has to be made, which means that we must nurture them, and we must nurture them in a way that they will continue this cycle, that they will become a good next generation, a praiseworthy next generation. And the responsibility of the next generation is to do a few things. One is to look after the previous generation and prepare for the next generation. So just as our responsibility, the first generation's responsibility, I mean, we're not first generation, but I mean is when our generation, our responsibility is both up and down. Our responsibility is to look after our elders and to nurture our young so that this cycle continues, a good role model is placed, and thus it continues that way. Now, when it comes to serving and respecting parents, I mean, we can't speak about all of these different roles today, but in speaking just about serving and respecting our parents, our elders, that's what I want to quickly shed a bit of light on, give a few practical tips, so inshallah we can reflect over this. We can reflect over this and hopefully make better of it in any of the situations or cases where we may have some failings or shortcomings or we haven't realized. A lot of the time these reminders are beneficial for us because they provide a reminder. They provide just a recollection of something that we should be doing. And they just put things in perspective. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So the wonderful thing is this, that when you look at other nations generally base their whole concept of tarbiyah and bringing up the next generation and on serving the old, they all base it on trends, they base it on trial and error. They try something, it becomes a fad, maybe some popular person, some star, recognized individual does something and then everybody starts doing it. You know, like for example, right now, keeping a beard for men is a very trendy thing to do. So you got so many people, especially like in America and other places, that are keeping beards. Not because of any religious reason, it's just somebody did it, so now everybody else is doing it. And then after that, somebody will take it off, and then everybody will take it off. So these are all trial and error situations based on trends and fashions and what some people do and what others don't. However, when it comes to Islam, it's a very clear-cut issue. You know, it's a very clear-cut issue to a certain degree. There are certain norms, certain maxims, certain principles that are taken for granted that these are and have to be fundamentally implemented to keep a good relationship. So certain things are necessary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them in the Quran, wa bil walidaini ihsana, that be good with your parents, treat them well, have excellent conduct with your parents. And وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ, do not say even uff to them. So there's certain ground rules that are already set. And then there's other things that are supposed to be based on the local understanding and the local culture that are still conducive to the Islamic understanding of these things. So for example, let's just go through a few things. Number one, the first thing is obviously we have to serve our parents. We have to serve our parents as soon as they need serving. Now that could be at any age. As long as we are old enough to serve them, they serve us when we're young. When we become 7, 8 years old, then we obviously start doing things for them. Oh, go and bring this. Your mom will say, go and do this, go and do that. You know, and this is when they start basic chores that they start doing. It's all part of living in the same place, that everybody's responsibility is to take part. You know, some people cannot just sit around, do nothing, and let everybody else do the work. Everybody has to do a bit. Obviously, different people will be doing different works. Sometimes, you know, you can't expect everybody to be doing the same kind of work, because there are certain things that some people may be better at, other people may be better at something else, but we all have to play our part. If you don't like doing something in the house, for example, in serving the house, then do something else to compensate. But it needs to be done in a way that the person in authority feels that you are doing your part. So you can't say, well, I don't like to put the dishes away, or I don't like to make the tea, or I don't like to do this. Well, that's fine, but do something in place of that that compensates for that, makes the other people think that you're doing your part. What you may say is that, I don't know, that just depends. I mean, you'll have to overcompensate, because when people expect, especially if it's a job that not everybody likes to do, then in that case, if nobody likes to do it, then everybody will probably have to do it, right? Unless somebody just decides to do it. So there's these things that we have to just be honest with ourselves, fair with ourselves, and just try to take them into consideration. Number two, especially when it comes to our parents, don't forget that they are getting old. Day by day, they are getting older, right? And when people get older, they generally become a bit more set in their ways, And not only that, they start, and after a certain threshold, after their kind of middle ages, and when they start going into being more senior, then in that case, they actually start getting slightly weaker. Their interest, their get up and go kind of attitude diminishes. They don't have the same kind of adventurous streak about them anymore. Don't have the same energy about them anymore. They don't have the same desires as they maybe had before. Now their desire may be focused on the hereafter, you know, especially when it comes to religious people. So keep that in mind. Serving parents is such an important issue, that where it's a problem and where it doesn't happen, certain governments have even decided to pass laws about this. So for example, when it comes to China, it had a law, I'm not sure of the exact details about it right now, but apparently at one time they passed a law that they will fine children who are who it's proven that they don't serve their parents. So parents can actually sue their children and take them to court if they don't serve them. Ukraine, apparently people can sue their children for not serving their parents in Ukraine. In Japan, some of the most lucrative companies, those that make the most money, that have the greatest turnover, extremely profitable ventures, are those that provide companions for old people. There's so many old people out there who have absolutely no companionship. I just spoke to somebody the other day who's a convert, and she said my daughter will be leaving home at September, because she goes to university, and that's essentially the whole idea was that my responsibility is now over. So in many cultures, what happens is that when they go to university, that's when they leave home. Then they make their own path in life after this. They don't necessarily come back home to live again. They go to university. They're expected to do well at university or whatever, then to find a job, find their own place, rent their own place, etc. And then to get married or whatever it is that they do at that time. So their responsibility ends. When it comes to Muslims, you don't generally see that happening. Right? They don't tell their children, okay, now you go, you finish. They will do their best to keep them together as much as possible. Right? So what happens in many of these cases is that parents are left alone. All their children have gone, right? The few children that they have, they've gone, they've done their own thing. They have their own families maybe, or even if they don't have their own families, they're living alone, maybe in another city sometimes, and they have absolutely nobody. Right, they have no companionship whatsoever. They have to do their own shopping. I mean, subhanAllah, even around my area, when I'm on the main road going to the masjid, there are these one or two specific old women that you see, sometimes even stooped over, that are going and doing their own shopping, having these these heavy bags that they're carrying, lugging them around. There's nobody there to help them and give them that companionship. Their children were supposed to do that. That's the whole idea of this. But unfortunately, it doesn't. Because in anybody's life, you have the initial period of helplessness, of need, which is the infancy. And when a person is a small child, they need a lot of help. Then after that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we take them to the lowest of the low. And that can be explained or also understood as becoming weak again. They become weak again, and then they need help again. So that whole phase needs to restart, and the children need to look after their parents about that. So when it comes to Islam, the children are supposed to take up that role of companionship, of assistance, of help, and so on. And of course, parents need to be such that they help their children become like that. They help their children become like that. I listened to a talk some time ago where somebody mentioned that they saw a number of people becoming ill and sick with Alzheimer's or some other disease in their old age. And they realized that when they became old, they started acting, their bad traits became magnified. Their bad traits became magnified, and that became kind of their default state. So then what she decided to do is she decided to correct herself, improve herself, and beautify her character now, because she felt that she had a great chance, really a high chance, of going down the same path, of also being afflicted with that same disease, because so many of her forefathers and ancestors had it. So then she was going to try to deal with the negative aspects of that disease, which is where your bad traits become magnified, and that's how you start acting throughout. So she started inculcating in herself good traits, so that when she's helpless and when she can't help herself anymore and she loses herself essentially, then her good traits will become magnified. And that's a really beautiful planning, and this is what we've been told to improve our character, our traits, and especially with our children. So that's very important. It really helps to have an older person who may need to be washed and moved around and fed and so on, who are happy and jolly. They might, you know, it's much better to deal with. People like to come and sit with them. If you've got somebody who doesn't like to talk to anybody, who just sits and broods over, maybe just does their own tasbih or doesn't talk to anybody, then people will find it very difficult to go and sit them for, with them for an hour, because you're not going to be able to say anything and do anything. You know, one is different that a person was really jolly and everything, and then they just lost everything. They can't speak anymore. They're paralyzed or something like that, right? But then you remember the good times with them. So give good times to your children and to people around you, that when you are in need, they will remember those good times and they'll bring back memories. So even when they're sitting next to you, they'll bring back memories and they'll like to sit next to you. It just makes a better experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that tawfiq, and may Allah not make us needy of anybody. That dua should be on our lips all the time. So in Sharia, it becomes the responsibility of the children to look after their parents. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Don't even say uff to them. Why would that kind of expression have to be used here? The reason is that when people get old, they start acting, you can say, in unpredictable ways, in unadult ways sometimes, sometimes in childish ways even. And sometimes they just become a bit irritating, because maybe they're slower with the times. They've kind of retired from understanding the trends of the time, and children are still into the trends of the time. So when parents don't understand it and they don't do the cool things that they think are cool, the children think are cool, then they become a bit of an irritant, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it's just, you know, children, young people, they just have this get up and go kind of attitude, which is sometimes dangerous, which is sometimes not healthy, which is sometimes just a bit overbearing and overdone. But they don't understand that themselves. They think what they're doing is correct, that this is time for fun, they say. And when their parents don't do the same thing, then they get a bit annoyed about this and irritated. But the Sharia says this, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّنُ وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say something noble to them. This is to take into consideration the fact that this kind of challenge will present itself. This kind of annoyance may creep up. This kind of irritability will be felt. But your job is still to try to curb that, control that, and don't say anything bad. Say something noble, because they are in a state where they may be helpless, or maybe you're overacting, or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, it's our responsibility to have mercy on them. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, especially when it comes with the mother, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, that paradise lies under the feet of the mothers, that she's standing on it, and the only way, you can't push her off, because there's no way she'll fall down on it. It's just going to be worse. The only way is that she be so happy that she actually moves off and lets you enter. And for that, we have to act on the Quranic dictates. That's why in the Sharia we have that if you look at your parents with love, if you look at your parents with love, you get the reward of an accepted Hajj or Umrah, right? So if that's just about looking at them and you get that reward, then can you imagine what the reward and how much Allah likes the fact that you could serve them? Because looking at them is just part of the service. It's the first part of the service. If you look at your parents with love, you'd expect to serve them then. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving that much reward to somebody who looks at their parents with love and affection. Oh, this is the person who brought me up, who brought me into this world, who looked after me, etc., who's responsible for me. And then can you imagine if you serve them, what kind of rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even speak about? Because he just mentions the beginning reward. And we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when he comes to giving rewards, he gives huge amounts of rewards. So if he's promising such a great amount of reward just at looking, then you can imagine what serving should bring a person. That's why Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to be out and about, but he used to have a mother. He's very known about his mother and the du'as he made for his mother and so on and so forth. And one of the things, he was such an obedient child, and this is, we can learn from these things. He used to always tell his mother if he was leaving, and he would make salam with her, and he would say something nice to her, and then when he would come back, he would go and see her again. Now, in those days, you didn't have, you know, big estates or houses with 5 rooms or 6 rooms. Mostly 1 or 2 rooms, maybe, right? You know, that's how much you had. You'd expect that, you know, from understanding how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led his life. Abu Hurairah radiallahu, he would go in and he would go and make it a point. You know, one is you go in, your parents are there anyway, so you just go and do your own stuff. They know, you think they've seen you're here. But it's actually akhlaq, it's character. This is prophetic character. This is the character of the companions, to actually acknowledge them, say something to them. Sometimes our children, they'll go to school, come back from school, they'll leave without saying anything, or they'll come and go directly into their room and just, you know, go and do their own stuff or whatever the case is. Now, when you come into the house, anybody who comes in, say salam. That's an Islamic kind of thing anyway for anybody. Even if there's nobody in the house, you still say salam. You familiarize yourself with the situation. You say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Because there are people who, there are beings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that could be there that we don't even see. So if Allah is telling us to even make salam, it says that in the Quran, fasallimu. It says make salam. In the Quran, it says that when you enter, then say salam. So, وَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا. It mentions even in the Quran that you should make salam. So it's a Quranic advice there to make salam, even if there's nobody there. So if there's somebody there, then acknowledge them. Say, how are you? Alhamdulillah. You know, say something or the other. And that's very important. That's why Abu Hurairah used to do this. Now look at Imam Abu Hanifa. He had a ajib situation. He was the Imam of the times, the Imam of the city for sure, the greatest of the ulama there. People used to look up to him. Well, you know, had great respect and acknowledge his, people acknowledge his knowledge. However, when it came to his mother, and she had an issue, for some reason she had her faith in somebody else, in the sense that she would like to consult this other scholar who would benefit himself from Imam Abu Hanifa's works. And he lived a bit of a distance away. So whenever she had an issue, she would say to Imam Abu Hanifa, come and take me to so and so, I've got some masail to ask. Now, can you imagine our frustration at something like this? I've got everything for you. You know, why do you need to go somewhere else? And then I need to take you there? You know, what humility that would have to, a person would have to do that. But out of love for his mother, out of love for his mother, subhanAllah, he would take her there. He wouldn't say anything. He would take her there. He would say to the sheikh there, you know, who was kind of like a student in a sense. Maybe not a formal student, but definitely of a lower status. My mother wants to ask you questions. Can you please answer the question? And she would say, he would say to him that, you know, you have the older answers. He says, no, I want you to make her happy. She expects this from you. She has trust in you. I want you to respond to that. So he would respond to it. And sometimes if he didn't know what the answer was, he would ask Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa would tell him. And then after that, he would respond to his mother. But this was just done. Now, for a lot of us who just think in a kind of a overly rational fashion here, and we think, well, what's the point of all of that? Well, the point of all of that is that you are bringing happiness to somebody, and you're bringing happiness to your mother, to your parent. And that makes a massive difference, because you get your rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a big thing. That's a really big thing. If we can start understanding things in that way, life becomes much more prosperous and fruitful for us, especially in terms of the hereafter. Hafsa bint Sirin, she's the sister of Muhammad ibn Sirin, the great hadith scholar, dream interpreter. She says about her brother, that her brother, based on this verse, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا and وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا and all the other directions in the Quran. He would speak so lowly in front of his parents that he did not want to even risk raising his voice over that of his parent. So he would speak so lowly, sometimes he would have to be told to repeat what he said. But that was his way of showing adab. So never loudly, never brashly, never in this kind of bold and disrespectful way. He would always speak in this very low tone. Asma radiallahu anha, the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha, her mother Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's original wife, she wasn't a Muslim, she wasn't a believer then. And when she came to visit, Asma radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if she should still, you know, serve her, honor her, respect her. And he told her, yes, you must do. Because above everything, she's still your mother. That's this biological connection that you have, which is so essential and so natural, and before anything else, for that matter. That's why you must do this. So what can we do to our parents? What can we do for our parents? Well, one is when we're at an age when they are still independent and healthy and strong, then we help them around as they want our help. Sometimes that's very difficult, I know, but we just try to help them out as much as possible. However, the biggest... these are a few things that we can do. I'll go in a bit more detail, but one of the few things that you can do is if children recount positive times from their upbringing, from when they were young, that makes the children very, very happy. You know, when they recall what their parents have done for them, good times that they've had together, those are kind of conversations that you could bring up. Because sometimes some people don't know what to speak about with their parents. If they can bring up these kind of conversations, then it makes them feel very good. It makes them feel very good. Number two, the hugs and kisses are very, very beneficial. Kissing the hand of the father is an extremely, extremely respectful thing, right? And giving them a hug and a kiss makes... There's a special benefit in humans coming together. It shows a great sense of affection, and it can do so much more than maybe what some words can do sometimes. Because it takes a lot more to do something than to verbally say something. So if a person had some, you can say, feeling of distance, then and they're finding it difficult to apologize or say something nice, then by them going and giving a hug, that will compensate hopefully for not having said anything, because it takes much more to go and give a hug to somebody. So that is really, really powerful. There's five languages of love for parents. I'll just quickly go through them. We don't have much time, but five languages of love for parents. They work very well. Number one, words of affection. I love you, right? I love you. That words of affection, you can say that to your parents, right? It doesn't just have the sexual kind of love or, you know, connotation that is become popular for. Number two, don't keep a negative attitude with them. That gives more hurt sometimes. Always be affectionate somehow. Always be affectionate. Always be seen as affectionate. Even if they say something bad to you, you may get really irritated then. After 5 minutes or whatever, just go and say something nice to them. Or just go and speak to them. And that will at least show that you have not taken it to heart. One is sometimes just showing that you haven't taken something to heart is really beneficial. Number three, keep eye contact. Don't speak to them looking somewhere else. Keeping eye contact with them. And I would say, you know, just to get a better deal out of this, to look at them at that time when you're speaking, you have to look at them. You should look at them anyway, right? As it says, keep eye contact. But looking at them with affection at that time in your whole conversation, then you get all those rewards for accepted Umrah and Hajj anyway, right? So you get both of those things that will be beneficial. Don't speak to them as though you're speaking to a child. A lot of the time, this is what happens. People reduce themselves to such a level that they start speaking to their parents as though they're the worst of the people in the world that they speak with. They speak to others with respect. When it comes to their parents, for some reason, there's just been such a breakdown that they actually start speaking bad to them. It's like they are competition now. And they are opponents, enemies in some cases. That's very dangerous. Once, for example, there was a guy sitting around with a bunch of young people. I mean, I'm not talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults. And his old father was there, and his old father started saying something, and subhanAllah, he said, let the human speak, you don't speak. As though saying he's not even human. Right? Because he's just so annoyed by his father for whatever reason. You know, sometimes there are grounds for annoyance because they do estrange sometimes. But we're still not allowed to reach this, because that's where Allah says, don't even say, oof. And do not censor them in any way like this. Because that's inevitable. And you have a responsibility here. They are responsible for bringing you into this world. And for bringing you up. Number four, actions speak louder than words. So I said give a hug, etc. Right? Don't show bad action. Don't turn away. Don't ignore them. Don't put the phone down on them, etc, etc. You know, sometimes my dad may say something to me that is very hard for me to stomach. And especially if you're a person who's competitive, who's argumentative, who likes to argue and respond and retort and wants to show what the right is all the time, becomes very difficult. So what I've learned, the best thing to do is just be silent. Putting the phone down is highly disrespectful. Being silent and not just saying anything, then it gives them the impression, okay, that, you know, he's still listening. Okay, you know, he understands that people get angry. So I found that I just stay silent for a while. Then I think he understands and he calms down, right? So if I put the phone down, that is highly disrespectful. Allah protect me from that, right? Saying something bad, that's also really disrespectful. And I know that he's just a bit, you know, he's just emotional right now and he's just saying whatever. I know he's going to calm down afterwards. It's going to be fine afterwards. When you've had that experience, you know it's going to be fine afterwards. Like, this is not like the end of the world or something. So I just stay silent for a while. And alhamdulillah, I learned that. And because it used to really bother me a lot that I may have retorted sometimes or said something or whatever, because that's sinful. So how do you deal with that situation? So actions speak louder than words. Number 5, laziness will be taken as a lack of love by them and not just as laziness. What that means is that if you don't do something that they expect you to do, you're just doing it because of lazy. It's not like you hate them or anything like that. It's just you're lazy, right? A bit careless attitude. They will take that as a lack of love, not as laziness. We need to know that. So we need to try to compensate for that idea. So don't be lazy with your parents especially. Because if you just want to sleep around, they think, oh, he doesn't like me anymore. Especially when they get older, right? Younger parents can understand that they're lazy. But older parents, they get sensitive. It's like children. Children, if their parents say something strange to them, they actually take it as, I don't love you. My parents don't love me anymore. And it's not that. That's not the case. But they take it like that. And older folk, they also do the same thing. Not middle-aged parents, but older parents. Don't be rough with them. This is especially speaking about old parents, right? Don't be rough. You know, when you have to move them around or help them from one place to the other, take them toilet or give them food or whatever. Some people are very rough. I've seen some cases where they just go and stick a spoon in their mouth, right? And do some weird things like this and just kind of plump down a tray in front of them. Have some respect. Believe me, you will get respect for it afterwards. You will get respect and you will get huge amounts of reward. One of the greatest things you can do is to serve your parents. Greatest things you can do is serve your parents. So don't be rough with them, especially if you have to help them do something. And keep good contact with them. If you're not living with them, you know, one is that sometimes one child might be living with them, another one living elsewhere. Keep good contact with them. If you can't go and visit, you know, every few days, then give them a phone call at least. But keep some kind of contact with them. Believe me, if I don't see my father in a week, I feel really, really bad. Sometimes I get really busy and I just can't go, right? Then I just feel every day, I feel like I should be going. Then I get some excuse to call him up and say, like, you know, whatever. So just 2 to 3 days ago, I hadn't met my father for quite a few days because he'd gone out of the country, he came back, and I was very busy with something. And then I was like, when am I going to go? I'm only going to be able to go in the weekend properly. So then I was going to go to a meeting for ulama, and I said, you know, let me take him. So I called him, I said, do you want to come to this meeting? So then we had some time in the car, mashallah. About a thousand people, old people, were interviewed. And they were asked what they would like most from their children. Old people, right, who are at that kind of retired age. What would they like to see from their children? 1,000 people were interviewed about this. And among all the things that they said, one of the most common things, the most prominent things that they said was patience. We'd like to see patience from them. Because one is you can't serve them, but if you're patient with them, and they know that they could get a bit irritating, a bit annoying, you know. But they know that if somebody's patient, then it goes a long way. Right? Sometimes parents know that they can be irritating, but they can't help it. Just the situation is such. That's the nature of the world, to be honest. So patience, sabr. And there's huge amounts of reward for sabr. Huge amounts of reward for sabr. In fact, I'm not sure how sahih this is, but there's a narration which states, O Musa, whoever is disobedient to me but obedient to parents, I'll still write him to be obedient. In general, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a must. But this is just to underscore the importance of obedience to parents, because when people are obedient to their parents, that is the fundamental nucleus of the family. And if that goes right, the extended family is inshallah right. If a person is broken at home, what can he do outside? Because they might feel good that they have good friends, but the inside, from a natural perspective, their heart will be restless, will be discontent, because it is to be good with your own family and have good blood ties, which you have. You share the same blood, right? Same ancestry. If that is not right, people are never going to be satisfied. Never going to be satisfied. I don't care how bad your father or mother is. I've seen so many people whose fathers have neglected them, but they still want to, they're still looking for a time to have good relationship with them. If only it would be, but it's not. It is such a natural human feeling. May Allah give us that strength. There'll be the one category of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at on the Day of Judgment with any kind of merciful gaze. On the Day of Judgment are people who have been disobedient to their parents. That is how big this responsibility is and how critical it is and how dangerous it's not to be obedient. Disobedience to parents is one of those sins among a few that is also punishable in this world. So a lot of other sins, you can get away with it all your life and you'll get the punishment in the hereafter if Allah wills. But disobedience to parents is one of those sins which is known that it's also punishable in this world. So it will happen to the person themselves. Now we're really setting up ourselves, we're disobedient, we're setting up ourselves for disobedience as well. 8 things not to do with parents. I'm just going to quickly list them, inshallah they'll help us. One is, do not ever say to old parents, how can you not remember that? Subhanallah, that's a massive insult. How can you not remember that? They forget. I said they get to that level afterwards, seniority, becoming senile, etc. Number 2, you're telling them to do something, right? Now you might be able to say this to a young child, but to say to elders, you can do it if you try. You know, we say that to our children, you can do that if you try. Try, you don't try hard enough. Don't say that to parents. It has to be a different approach. Though they become childlike, you can't treat them like children. There's still honor about them. They've had a past with you. One very big sheikh, when he became old, he said that old age is such, this was his experience in old age, and he was expressing, he says, old age is such that you can't even tell anymore where the pain is anymore. Like they have so much pain sometimes in different parts of the body, deteriorates to such a degree that you no longer even know where it's painful. That's how bad it is. So how they can't even express anymore where the pain is. That's who you're dealing with. And number 3, don't say to them, I showed you before. I've shown you this so many times. You know, this is the kind of stuff that people may say to their children, but they generally don't, because there's a level of mercy that they show with their children, have patience. They don't have the same patience with their parents though, because they expect that they should know better. That's why, because for them they're reflecting over past days. But no, reflect on how they are right now and do not say that. You can't say that to them, they're not children. Just show them again. Number 4, you already told me that. Sometimes, subhanAllah, parents tell you the same thing again and again. They ask you the same question again and again. I'm sure he's asked me before. 3 times he's asked me before. No. Just tell them again. You get reward for it. Think about that. You just get reward for it. It sounds irritating, but you get reward for it. Number 5, don't ever talk about, I want your property after death, so die quickly. I mean, nobody says that clearly. Some people might, but they insinuate that idea. Don't ever give them that expression. They will die a miserable death, and you will be responsible for that, and you'll have no barakah in what they leave behind. So what's the point? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes they become so old that they take the wrong name of the child. That they have, they have various illnesses at that time, and they might call you something else, right? To grandparents, grandchildren, or even sometimes their own children, they might call you, hey Yusuf to Awiyo, you know, and then it's Suleiman Bayawila, you know, and it's somebody else. Can you imagine, right? Don't get angry about that. That's just, they're obviously not doing that on purpose. And don't blame them for things that they do because of old age. And likewise, don't bring up the past. It's gone and done. Don't bring up, don't unearth old demons. It's not worth it. If you get to spend time with your parents and to assist them, especially when they're more in need. The more they are in need, the more time you can spend, then that's an absolute honor. And remember, just spending money on them and taking care of their expenses is not enough. Right? Money doesn't make anybody happy. That's not what makes them happy. Don't spend money on them. Express your love as well. And that's very important, expressing your love. So above all, I think the main thing is to kind of try to understand people in their states. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be wonderful children to their parents. And as parents, we must be, you know, as I said, it's always a dual responsibility. One is we have to look towards our elders and look after them. And number two is look towards our youngers and make tarbiyah and treat them with mercy. And I think this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, is a very powerful dua, which was inshallah ensure that you have gladness for as long as you live and among your children. So on the day of judgment, when you see your progeny and great, great, great grandchildren that you never saw when you were in the world, hopefully that they will make you satisfied on the day of judgment because you made this dua. Because it says, oh Allah, grant us from our wives, spouses. So wives can make this for the husband as well. So it's spouses, azwaj, and progeny. Not just immediate children, but progeny until the day of judgment. Those that gladden our eyes. So on the day of judgment, you'll see your entire progeny until the day of judgment. And inshallah, it'll be a source of gladdening for our eyes. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ